third step on, we're getting ready to hear the first prayer, resentment prayer, step four, prayer part one, however you want to label it. And it goes like this. Realize that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Though we did not like their symptoms the way they deserved ourselves, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We ask God. When you ask God, you're praying. So here it is. Four-step prayer one. We ask God to help us, show us the same tolerance, pity, and patience we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. Prayer number two is coming up. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, quote, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. Some of these resentments, as you go through this, and when we finish up these last two columns, you're going to have some prayer. And we're running out of time. Maybe next week we'll go ahead and do it. I'll show you in the back of the book on there about this four-step prayer. Obviously, page 67, when he told us about it, obviously, like the obsession, like the self-will, we can't heal a sick mind with a sick mind. I can't solve a problem that was created with the same mind. My mind can't solve the problem that was created. So, million-dollar question is, how do I get even with them? I'm glad that you asked that. I'm going to tell you. First of all, you want to get even with them? Love them. Yeah. All that anger we intended to use on other people, we're turning and using on ourselves. You hurt yourself, make yourself sick. Now, if you really want to get even with them, I'm going to tell you something else. Pray for them. That is the ultimate love for another human being. That is the deepest form of love I can have for another human being. Love and hate cannot exist on the same plane. Don't go to the prayer first because you got to go through this five-column process. Prayer is the last thing. And I guarantee from personal experience, and I will swear on my mother and father's grave, that it works. And I am here to tell you, if it works for me, it's going to work for everybody in here. That is the greatest expression love can have one for one another. So just think, if 95% of them go away with this, and we see what they're doing, and the other 5% go away with the fear prayer, that means my mind can be free of damaged, unsellable goods called resentment to the level that God intended. That means a third of that stock room, inventory room, whatever you want to call it, that first third that was full of resentment is going to be free and clear. A spiritual axiom or a law of nature is it absorbs a vacuum. There is nothing. When I drink this water, something rushes in to fill that. That's called air. It's the same thing with my mind. When that is gone, something's going to come in that third that is cleared out. Guess what it is? It's the opposite of the resentment. It's love, it's patience, it's compassion. All the things that God wanted me to do to begin with, but I couldn't use them and I misused them. Now it's starting to get in there. Okay, so that means obviously we can be free of resentments. We're full of that. Something's rushed in. And like I said, the opposite comes in. Where there was resentments, there now is love, patience, tolerance, compassion, goodwill towards my fellow man. And here's the magic about this, and please don't get too offended. I don't have to go to any other fellowship. I don't have to read any other books to get this. Okay? Remember, AA's 12 steps, a group of principles of spiritual nature, which, if practiced as a life, can dispel the obsession, drink, and enable the sufferer to be happily and usefully whole. Bingo. Remember, we've been reading it since January. If God dwells within me, which he does, the text we already read, these things, talking about the patience, love, tolerance, kindness, and love, have been part of my makeup. I just could never use them before. In the chase for power, prestige, money, and sex, those qualities had to be repressed. Now that these resentments are gone, those good qualities will come to the surface. Remember, we're not inventorying them. That don't make us go broke. It's so simple. We don't have to understand how it works. All we have to do is do it. So we get a peace of mind, serenity, and happiness that we've never had before. Prayer doesn't always change things. It changes people. People and God change things. So now, it would do me no good if I got rid of these resentments and didn't see how to keep them from coming back. Because here's the thing. We talked about it. The world's full of sick people. They're going to do it to me again tomorrow. And I guarantee you, if I'm not careful, I'll resent them. Speak for myself. If I've got run resentment, it's like kicking that old stray dog. If I kick one, it's like a pack of dogs. They all wake up. I have one. I'll have three, six, nine, 12. And before you know it, I'll be a basket case already all over again. So like I said, now here's where the magic is gone. This is where the fourth and fifth column come into play. So now, it goes like this. We avoid retaliation and argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we would destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to others. But God will show us how to take a kindly, tolerant view of each and every one. Obviously, we know how to do that. Referring to our list again. Now, this is what we never did before. Putting out the minds of the wrongs other are done, we look for our mistakes. So here's it. Never would I do this before. Let's look. What did I do to cause her to leave and take my kids and wipe me out? Well, I'm going to put down everything. I did everything but had an affair on that woman. I mean, I did everything. Well, two things I didn't do. I didn't physically abuse her, and I never cheated on her. Everything other than that, I did it. Because I did everything to her, I made her leave, and I made her take those kids, and she wiped me out. The police. Well. That's broke the law, and this is an outside issue, but I used to have felonies in my pockets wherever I went. You guys can know, you can draw the conclusion on that. Yeah. Yeah. Because I broke the law, I made the man do his job. He arrested me. He wiped out all of me. My boss. What did I do? I'm going to put everything on him. I was just terrible. I stole, I lied, I cheated, I did everything. Because I lied, cheated, bad employee coming in late, I made him fire me that wiped me out. The IRS, the jail, and like I said, affected. Now, what did I do? I didn't pay my taxes, okay? Cheated on my taxes. Guess what? If I didn't do this, they wouldn't have threatened to put me in jail, make me pay interest and penalty, wouldn't have wiped myself out. I'll be damned. Every resentment, I did something that made them do that. Here I thought they were doing it to me. I did it to them. Oh, that's right. Remember what we did last week? A life run on self can hardly be a success. So, we're always in collision with somebody or something. So now we go on. Okay. We look for our mistakes. And this is where it's at. Where we had been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. And that is the exact nature of our wrong in column number 5. We'll put them down. Selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, inconsiderate. The wrong is the resentment. The exact nature of my wrong is column number 5. Because I'm selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate, I did this that made her do that, or I made her do this that wiped me out. That is the exact nature of my wrong. Because I'm selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate, I broke the law, made the man arrest me that wiped myself out. Because I'm selfish, dishonest, frightening, inconsiderate, I made my boss fire me that wiped me out. Once again, because I'm selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, inconsiderate, I made the IRS jail me because I didn't pay my taxes. So every resentment, either I started or I kept going, even if it would be a legitimate one or a justified resentment. So that's what it says there. Though the situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. We saw our faults. We listed them, placed them in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly, and we're willing to set these matters straight. So, here's where we're at now. And here's what happens if I don't do these. Every resentment, like I said, I caused or kept it going so I could transfer blame. Never look at myself. And here's why I love these and why we love them. If I continue to do this, I will go from job to job to job. Woman to woman to woman. Sponsor to sponsor to sponsor. Home group to home group to home group. Always blaming them for why the things are. And like I said, I will never be able to get it. And like I said, never before thinking that I needed a cause, because like I said, in column five, if I become a little bit less selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightening, inconsiderate, I won't be doing these things. They in column one won't be wiping me out. I've never seen anything so simple but so powerful in my life. So if I stay the same in column five, I'll always do the same, I'll get the same. This does not excuse the other's actions, and it shows us, obviously, where we made decisions based on life, which put us in the self. I don't blame anybody for what they did. And next week, we're going to start with, I know time's done, we're done. We're going to start with a justifiable one. But remember, all resentments cut us off from the sunlight of the Spirit. But the last exercise tonight, on these columns, on this last column, number five, you put four. We've got all the information for step four. Guess what? We have all the information for step five. Because in step five, I'm going to admit to God, myself, and another human being the exact nature of my wrong. I don't care that you committed adultery, that you stole, whatever. That's a manifestation. The exact nature of your wrong, because you're selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightening, considerate. That's the exact nature of your wrong. So now I have all the information for five. I can put a six, because guess what? We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. What are they? I'm selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightening, considerate. Step seven, when I humbly ask him, what am I doing? I'm humbly asking him to remove the selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, inconsiderate human being. So I have to do step four in order to do step five, step six, step seven. Well, this will make you puke if you ain't had enough. All those people I hated and pissed off. Guess what? You put eight and nine in column one. It said we made a list of the people we made amends to. We did it when we took inventory. Made direct amends. So what I'm saying is I cannot go on with the program of Alcoholics Anonymous until I do this five-step or this five-column inventory, because without it, I won't have the information for five, six, seven, eight, or nine. It's all one of the most amazing processes I've ever been through. In fact, it is the most amazing process I've ever been through. So now, real quick, and I love this. Uh-oh, he got it. He wrote it down again. I'm going to save this for next week. Yeah, it's time. Not all resentments are bad if they're used in as God gives them. If a resentment causes me to improve my living conditions, if it causes me to lose some weight and I get healthy out of it, if it causes to improve my working conditions, I financially get better, if a resentment causes me to become a better husband, if it causes me to be a better son, brother, whatever it is, in the right, proper thing, it can be a good thing with God's help. So they're not all bad. But I'm telling you, if you don't want to get rid of these resentments, whatever you do, don't do this. And whatever you do, don't pray about them. You can stay as sick as you want and probably drink and probably die. You can use these, if you don't do this, to use your resentments to rationalize and justify if we're not doing the things we should do and continue doing the things that we don't want to. So this is the wrap-up of every part of inventory. Did we see anything to be afraid of? Absolutely, I'm going to say it. Oh, hell no. Okay? Did we see anything so complicated we couldn't do? I won't swear again, but the answer is no. Did we make a list of dirty, filthy, nasty items? It's the same answer, no. Did we get any positive results from this? You bet, because we're starting to have a personality change, spiritual awakening already. Okay? Is there any reason why we shouldn't do step four? Absolutely, positively not. Now that we know how to do it, no, we have all the sheets and everything like that. So don't need to procrastinate anymore. It's simple enough to get on with it. The rest of the program takes a little bit of study, a little bit of help from your sponsor, somebody else, a little bit of time, and you can get it all done. With all that being said, if you're still having a hard time with your character defects, I'll tell you where you can get an accelerated thing. Go home to your husband or your wife. Go to work tomorrow. Go to your neighbors, your relatives, or whatever. Give them a piece of paper and a pen and say, I'm having a hard time seeing my character defects. Can you help me? I think you better do the five columns yourself. So make sure you come back next week because we do a little bit of fear and a little bit of sex and people get their ears perked up with that. That's inventory it is. So how about if we close with the Lord's Prayer? We are going to start with that justifiable reason. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. And, of course, we've been saying the set-aside prayer, and that's we're praying to God that we have our minds, our hearts, our souls opened up, and that we be set aside from any old ideas or knowledge that may be preventing us from what we need to know, and particularly about what we are studying and experiencing tonight. And it goes as follows. Lord, today, help me set aside everything I think I know about you, everything I think I know about myself, everything I think I know about others, everything I think I know about my recovery, for a new experience in myself, a new experience in my fellows, a new experience with you, and a new experience in my own recovery. And that's what we've been trying to talk about is recovery and not so much physical sobriety. And we've taken a paragraph out of this book called The 12 Steps and 12 Traditions as a goal or a mantra or a mission statement, and goes as follows. AA's 12 Steps, a group of principles spiritual in nature, which, if practiced as a way of life, can expel the obsession and drink, enable the sufferer to be happily and usefully whole. We've coined that as a recovered alcoholic, emotional sobriety, spiritual sobriety, and the 12 or 13 definitions that he uses in the back of the book, Appendix 2, on that spiritual awakening, spiritual experience, all meaning one thing, change. That's what we're trying to do. So, last week we did the resentments, and we will start with this. And this is something I like to read. It's called Here Today and Gone Tomorrow. And it goes as this. Have you ever stopped to realize that 55.3 million people die each year? Yeah, that's an encouraging thought, isn't it? Okay. Life is a constant come and go. Each of us has his little part. Each of us has his role assigned by God himself. The way you play your role, be it a leading part or insignificant, will determine the happiness of others as well as your own for time and for eternity. The world itself will be a little better or a little worse because of your coming and going. Which will it be? You have the answer. Play your part on the stage of life, but be careful not to lose yourself in the drama to the extent of forgetting the final curtain. As Shakespeare said in As You Like It, quote, all the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and entrances. Absolutely fascinating. I suppose that's a good segue for our inventory process. So, last week, obviously, we started the resentment process, and you know what? Looking over here from a couple of the people that I've seen, I see not a resentment in the lot, right? Okay. I know some of you did inventory last week, and some of you got rid of resentments last week, and I know I gave some of you resentments last week, so that's all good. So, we went through the process of last week to show you how to get rid of old resentments and how to keep new ones from coming back. We are going to go through that process real quick, and we did not give an example of what was called a justified resentment. These other resentments that we talked about last week were ones that we created or kept going, and we are going to go ahead and do these real quick. If you weren't here, it's an important part, and you'll see where we go with the resentment process. And that's why, obviously, you had to have these sheets, and you had to have your beautiful self-sheet. Got to have this. So, we talked about resentment number one. We will put her back on there again. Don't tell her she's the subject 2 weeks in a row. My wife, she left, took the kids. So column one, obviously, who you resent, what they did. Now, here's where it got a little bit challenging that we never did before. On your self sheet, and we had those last week, what part did it affect me when she left? We're going to put the social instinct, we're going to abbreviate that. And going down, did it wipe out my companionship, self-esteem, prestige, pride, personal relationships, ambitions? We certainly decided it was all of them. Now, the security instinct. When she left, how and did it affect my material? We talked about that. She's going to get the house. She's going to get the car. She's going to get the clothes. She's going to get the money. And I'm going to get the shaft. So we talked about that. Emotional. Wipe that out too, and my ambition. So with her doing that, she wiped out all of that. Sex instinct. Now, obviously, when she was gone, it was over. I wasn't going to get any sex from her, so the acceptable was wiped out. The hidden, I had none, so that couldn't have been affected. But my ambitions for the future, that was wiped out. So we're going to go ahead and for all intents and purposes, we're going to go ahead and should we put most instead of all? We'll put most. Two-thirds, right? So, now, here's where we never looked at, and here's the magic. When you do your resentments, when you see who the cause and effects, the sting is gone. We found out in column number one how pissed off, how mad we were at everybody. Then we found out in column number two, it's not so much them that they were mad at, it's who. It's what they did that really got us mad. And then we found out number three, this is where anger comes from. Because when I am angry, one of my instincts is hurt or threatened, real or imagined, and I choose to react with anger. Now, obviously, we lived on these first two columns. Hated you, I know what you did, and I got sick, and we replayed it. We don't have time to go through that again. Never looked at really what was wiped out. And here's what we never, ever looked. What did I do to cause her to leave me and take the kids? Well, I'm going to put everything. I told you about this last week. I did everything to that poor woman, except I never cheated on her, and I never physically abused her. So when I say everything, we're going to go ahead and say that. And by the way, that's subjective, too. You can cheat on somebody without having an affair. You can cheat on them by not being there and, you know, making your alcohol to God or your mistress or your, you know, husband, whatever the deal is. So that's a subjective thing, too. Just like when you say, I never broke all 10 commandments, how thou shalt not kill. Well, yeah, you killed a lot of things. You killed emotions. You killed trust. You killed a lot of things. That's a subjective or a relative thing. So when I say I broke all 10 of the commandments, I broke them all 10. Maybe not literally by the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. I guarantee you I broke every damn one of them. So did all of us in this room. So anyhow, what did I do? Everything, we'll say, except for those two. We'll except two. Except when to do so would injure them or others, right? Okay, we talked about that last night. Now, the wrong is, obviously, where I had been. And this is so important. Column number five. And we are going to write this out. Was I selfish to do everything to her? You better believe it. Didn't give a damn about her or those kids. Was I dishonest? You bet. Every word came out of my mouth was a lie, and I had to protect what I was doing. Was I self-seeking? You better believe it. It was about me and nobody else. Was I frightened? You better believe it, because if I didn't do my deal, I wasn't going to get what I wanted, and that was the evil and corroding threat of our fabric existence was shot through with it, and we're going to do that next. And obviously, what it caused me was selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate. So, we find out, with every resentment, either I caused it or I kept it going. And we're going to find out tonight, too, about the justified. So, because I am selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate, I did this in column number 4. I made her in number 1 do this that ended up wiping me out. Every resentment, I either caused it and or I kept it going. So what we find out in this, you can put on this column, number 4. Now when we go through this and when we go through all the resentments, we will have completed step 4. I will have all the information done. You can put a 5. Because now I will know what I'm going to admit to God, myself, and another human being, the exact nature of my wrong. You can put a 6, because that's what I'm entirely ready to be willing to be rid of. Selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, inconsiderate behavior. And then on 7, that's when I humbly on my knees ask God to do. So I cannot go on with the rest of the program until I go through this process. It's absolutely impossible. Because until I do that, I won't be done with 4. Can't do 5, can't do 6, can't do 7. And here's where it really makes you sick. And all the people I hated, people, places, and things, guess what? I owed them amends. So hand me the barf bag, and I tell you what, yeah. So, without this process, a 5-column process, I cannot go on with this program. What's after 9? 10. That's what it says. We continue to take personal inventory. I can't continue something unless I haven't done it before. So, you can see that if I don't do this, I'm done. Just, I'm done. D-U-N. Okay, so it's so important. We've got it. Yeah, that's capital letter D-U-N. So, that's so important. Okay, we are going to go ahead and do another one. In fact, you know what? I was foaming at the mouth today. The accountant called up. The lovely missus went and picked up the taxes. And God, yeah, bad news again after paying all year. Still foaming at the mouth. So anyhow, the resentment I had against them is obviously the cause, is they were going to jail me, fine me, and interest me. Because I cheated on my taxes, got a big amount of money, and I said, I'll show you, I ain't going to pay it. Guess what? That was the age of the computers, and they caught me. It was not a good day. So, anyhow, what did that do to me? Did that wipe out my social instinct? Well, for the most part, companionship, self-esteem, pride, prestige, personal relations, they did it to me all. Material, you know that, interest, fines, jail, penalties, so on and so forth. Emotional, yep. Ambition, yep. Sex instinct, they got me all on there. Somebody says, what are you talking about? Well, if I got locked up and if I was put away, lost everything, not only was she not going to get it, I would have been getting some of the hidden in jail. Not the kind I wanted, but yeah. And the ambition. So you can see the IRS wiped all of me out. Now, what did I do for the IRS to hunt me down like a criminal? Oh, that's right, because I was. There's a federal law. You got to pay your taxes. Okay, what did I do? I cheated on my taxes. Never, ever would look at that. Cheated on taxes. Now, why did I cheat on taxes? Was I selfish? Oh, hell yes. I want you to pay your taxes so I can live in this country, but I'm not going to pay my fair share. Was I dishonest? I just told you that. Federal law. I broke the law, and I willingly, wantonly, and did that. Was I self-seeking? Absolutely, because I wanted it, my money. Okay? Frightened? You better believe it, because if I don't spend it, don't get it, I ain't going to get it. Inconsiderate. Because I'm selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, inconsiderate, I cheated on my taxes, I made them do this to me, and it wiped me out. Once again. Okay, so now that we've seen that, I think everybody's got that idea. Now, kind of, sort of. How about the justifiable? We were talking about that earlier. Just unjustifiable or justifiable resentments. These are unjustified because I did it, my bad, now I see it. All of my resentments, except a few, are this, of this type. Unjust or justified. That's when I resent some place, person, thing. They do this, affect me, but what did I do? Nothing. Be careful with that. But there are some. Okay? And I'm going to give you one. And it was ugly. Came from an alcoholic home. Mommy and daddy alcoholic. Book talks about it. Stay with us. Some of the best AAs in the chapter, the chapters to the wives' family afterwards. So here's a justifiable. And there's even worse. I got news for you, too. The sexual abuse that we're hearing about, and I'm not saying anything about that, but I got news for you. It's been going on for a long, long time. It's just coming to light, and people are talking about it now. There's a lot of us in this room that it's happened to. I get it. Okay? I didn't get that, but this is what I got. And I have a justifiable resentment. I came from an alcoholic home. And buddy, I tell you what, when you are a little kid and that is your 24/7, I got news for you. It's ugly. And you're going to hate and you're going to be afraid and you are going to do anything to survive. I joke about it in a way, my older brother and sister, I call us survivals of Holocaust. It was a Holocaust in our own home, having two alcoholic parents. It was ugly. I mean, it was nothing but ugly. So here's what it is. Justified resentment. And I'm here to tell you that was my favorite excuse of why I was an alcoholic. Victims never get better. Victims stay sick. And until I got the truth about this, I could not and would not recover from alcoholism. This was my favorite. And here's how it went. I'm resentful. I'm going to put parents. The cause, alcoholic home. Now, what do you think that did to old self? What do you think that did to a little scared little kid? I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, a 32-year-old man, physically, but I was a scared, broken little boy. I was a little kid when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, and this is why. Not their fault. Well, what do you think it did to me? What do you think that it did to social instinct? You think it wiped out companionship? You better believe it. What the hell is that? You learn to survive like an animal out in the jungle, either with or without. Okay? Self-esteem? No, it was none of that. Prestige? You know what it's like to have your parents drunk out in the yard? You know what? I laugh about it today. It's a joke. We were the Saturday entertainment, the Veely's house. They didn't have to watch TV. They had to look out the curtains and see him laying out. It was hilarious, man. It was all good. It's all good. It wasn't back then. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was ugly. His car stuck in the driveway. Parents laying in the ditch. Parents laying on the sidewalk. I mean, you know the drill. So anyhow, how about the pride? You think it took care of that? You better believe it. Personal relations and ambition. It wiped out all the social instinct. Security instinct. Material. How about this for a sad song? I remember watching them going in my piggy bank and taking every penny out of my piggy bank and going getting beer. And I knew it was poison. I knew what was doing that family, and I hated them. I hated them. I hated the people made out. I hated them. It was the breeding ground for my alcoholism. So material, needless to say, it wiped it out. Emotional, wiped out ambition. So guess what? All of them. Sexual instinct. No, I wasn't having any back then as a little kid, but I guarantee you it affected what I thought was acceptable because I didn't know anything about that. And I got news for you. In the Veely household, we weren't talking about the birds and bees. Mm-mm. No, not that. Hidden. Didn't know about that, but I don't know. Maybe it wanted to give me some ambition. So you can see this resentment really wiped out all of me in column three. What did I do? Here's my favorite word. Nothing. Nothing like an alcoholic. I was sitting there doing nothing. I was doing nothing. I was born in this house. I didn't have a choice. You don't choose your parents. You don't choose your childhood. You get what you get. Deal with it or not. Now, here's where the magic comes into, okay? And this is why we're doing with these resentments. We're talking about it. Both kinds, justifiable or unjustifiable, cut you off from the sunlight of the Spirit, cut you off from God. And you will remain restless, irritable, and discontent. So, here's where this inventory process is when I came in, did this as a 32-year-old man. I didn't do the inventory as a 6-year-old kid. I didn't do it as a 10 or a 12 or a 14-year-old. I did it as a 32-year-old man for the first time in my life. Now, so you're going to say, what did I do? Was I selfish about this resentment? Somebody would say no. Oh, yeah. Because you know what? I was just thinking about me. I wasn't even thinking about my brother and my sister. I wasn't thinking about my mom and dad. They had to be that way. They're alcoholics. How dare I want somebody to forgive me and I'm still holding them hostage? That's pretty damn selfish as a 32-year-old man. You better believe it. Because guess what? Until I forgave them, I ain't getting better. Don't condone them. Don't like it. But I better forgive them. Was I selfish? Was I dishonest? So dishonest with myself, I refused to see the truth about it. How could I expect well behavior out of sick people? How can I excuse alcoholism in my life but not in theirs? That's being pretty damn dishonest. This is as a man now, 32 years old, not as a little kid on there. Was I being self-seeking? You better believe it was all about me. I wasn't considering anybody but me. This is a 32-year-old man hold my sick alcoholic parents prisoners or hostage, okay? Was I frightened? You better believe it. I was afraid to let this go because if I let it go, guess what? I had to man up and I had to be who I was, what I was, had to quit being a little kid, had to quit being a victim, had to be responsible for what I said, thought, did, and couldn't blame them anymore. And that scared me to death because that's what fueled my fire. That's what kept me sick and that's what kept me going. This was my number one resentment and it was justifiable. This was the real deal. So you better believe it. I was afraid. Inconsiderate. Yeah, and here's the inconsiderate. I failed to realize and acknowledge that they were sick like me. Not bad, sick. When you're sick, you do a lot of bad things. I did a lot of bad things because I was sick. Not because I was bad. So, as a man, 32 years old, to have this going, I am selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate. And I am keeping this resentment going, and I'm destroying myself. So I'm keeping this resentment going. Granted, I didn't do nothing. Nothing, honey. Didn't do a damn thing. But guess what? Do I want to stay sick and drink and die, or do I want to live? Do I want to be free? And every resentment, whether it be justified or unjustified, the bottom line is it keeps me from the power. Remember, we made that decision. So, obviously, if I stay sick, then if I stay in column 5 with this justifiable resentment, I stay sick, rationalize, justify, and I am a victim. I was a professional victim for 32 years. Pour me, pour me, pour me a drink. Victims don't get better. Victims get sicker. They don't stay sick. They get sicker. I know that because I was a professional one. These unjustifiable resentments, they start true. But as I play this for years and years, it got more distorted as it's going. If I look at them, obviously, in column 2, honestly, they, like ourselves, were sick too. The justifiable resentment will go away if we want them to. I'm going to show you the 5-column process, and we're going to do one thing real quick on here. And this is the court of last resort, this last thing that I'm going to tell you. If you don't want them to go away, then we will use them. And I will rationalize and justify what I am doing, or I will rationalize and justify for the things I'm not doing. It's going to control my whole life. Okay? And here's the magic about it. And please only do this for these resentments after this 5-column process, after the prayers we talked about it on page 551 and 552. You know what's really kind of neat about that? It doesn't matter what edition you're reading. Third or fourth edition, same page numbers. Is that odd or is that God? Other than the first 164 pages, I don't think that happens anywhere but in this story. I find this absolutely amazing. It's called Freedom from Bondage of Self. And it's the second to last paragraph 551, where it says, I've had many spiritual experiences. I'm going to go ahead and read it. It says, I've had many spiritual experiences since I've been in the program, many that I didn't recognize right away, for I'm slow to learn and they take many guises. But one was so outstanding, I'd like to pass it on whatever I can in the hope that this will help someone else as it helped me. As I said earlier, self-pity and resentment were my constant companions and my inventory. Began to look like a 33-year diary, for I seemed to have resentment against everybody I'd ever known. All but one responded to the treatment, suggesting the steps immediately, but this one posed a problem. Remember what I said, go through this. Most of them, some of them, all of them will go away. Maybe, maybe not. And I'm going to tell you about this story when we're done, okay? So it goes on to say, it was against my mother. It was 25 years old. Now here's what I know. I know that I'm an alcoholic on this. I fed it. I fanned it. I nurtured it as one might a delicate child. And it had become as much as part of my breathing. It provided me with my excuse for lack of education, my marital failures, personal failures, inadequacy, and of course my alcoholism. And though I really thought I had been willing to part with it, now I knew I was reluctant to let it go. Yeah, see, you can use mommy and daddy or whatever your justified thing is for all you got going on in life. One morning, however, I realized I had to get rid of it, for my reprieve was running out. If I didn't get rid of it, I was going to get drunk, and I didn't want to get drunk anymore. In my prayers that morning, I asked God to point out to me some way to be free of this resentment. During the day, a friend of mine brought me some magazines to take to a hospital group I was interested in. I looked through them, and a banner from across the front one featured an article by a prominent clergyman in which I caught the word resentment. He said, in effect, quote, if you have a resentment you want to be free of, if you will pray for the person or the thing that you resent, you will be free. If you will ask in prayer for everything that you want for yourself to be given to them, you will be free. Ask for their health, their prosperity, their happiness, and you will be free, even when you really don't want it for them. And your prayers are only words and you don't mean it. Go ahead and do it anyhow. Do it every day for 2 weeks. And you will find you have come to mean it and want it for them. And you will realize where you used to feel bitterness and resentment and hatred, you now feel companionship, understanding, and love. It has worked for me then, and has worked for me many times since then. And it'll work for me every time I am willing to work for it. Work it. Sometimes I have to ask for the willingness, but it too always comes. And because it worked for me, it will work for all of us. Another great man says, the only real freedom a human being can ever know is doing what he ought to do because you want to do it. This great experience that released me from the bondage of hatred and replace it with love is really just another affirmation of the truth I know. I get everything I need in Alcoholics Anonymous. Everything I need, I get. And when I get what I need, I invariably find that's what I wanted all the time. That just isn't a cute, fancy story from my personal experiences. It works. And from the beginning, wasn't getting on my knees a whole lot in the beginning. And I had an old, I call him Pack of Dogs. I had one of the old timers say, you got to get rid of that boy. I said, I don't want to. He says, I don't give a damn what you want or not. If you don't get rid of it, you're going to drink and you're going to die. He says, you got to get rid of it. He gave me that. He said, get on your knees and pray for him. And I did. And these were the words that came out of my mouth. I hope that son of a bitch gets everything he deserves. That's the only prayer I had for him. But they told me to do it for 2 weeks. And I'll be darned, at the end of that 2 weeks, it was exactly what they said. And I continued that prayer. It wasn't for weeks, it wasn't for months. And I'll be damned, it is exactly true. And one of the biggest resentments I had was against my mother and father. My mom, God rest her soul, she's been dead since I was a kid, 20 years old, long gone. Made that right. My dad died, he was 89, so that was about 8 or 9 years ago. And Alcoholics Anonymous, in these 12 steps, healed that relationship that I never thought before, because I hated him at one time in my life. He was the cause for all my problems. And when he died, he was one of my best friends, if not the best friend. And he was my earthly father, and that could not and would never have happened except through this process and through that prayer. So whatever you do or don't do, if you don't want to get rid of these resentments and you want to stay sick, don't do that. And sure in the hell don't do that, what I just read, because I guarantee you it will work. So one of the biggest mistakes in AA today, I'll try and word this nicely, PC, politically correct. We discuss all these problems. What we're talking about, all these problems, is column number two. What they did to me. Yeah. Sounds like kitty. Anyhow, it says, and all the things that they did to us, we try to figure out why. I'm going to give you a little bit of a breather in your life. You can use some time and energy. You're never going to figure that out. Don't waste your time. Okay? We'll never know why. All we know is they did it to us. It's history. It is what it is. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. That's the only thing that I need to know. And then we try to figure out why it made us the way it did. Don't waste your time on that either, because it ain't going to work. The fact is, that's the way we are. AA's not into problems. We're into solutions. There is a solution. Oh, that's right. There's a chapter called There Is a Solution. Okay. Now the thing is, obviously, do we want to get rid of it or not? Now we have the tool, if you will, the tools, to get rid of it. And if you don't, we won't. So, here's where people really start getting a little nervous. From now on, you and I are responsible for what I think, what I say, what I do, what I don't think, what I don't say, and what I don't do. No longer can I blame them. One finger out, three fingers pointing back. That word blame, last two letters spell M-E. I'm done. I got to man up. If it's a problem, if there's a fault, it's mine, not yours. Here's what it is. I'm responsible for that. No longer can I blame anyone or anything, because if I'm angry or resentful, it's because I want to. Real simple, when we find out. Remember, they need our prayers, and we need to practice, okay? If you want to get even with them, pray for them. If you really want to get even with them, love them. And I guarantee you, you can't love and hate at the same time. When you're on your knees doing that prayer for health, happiness, prosperity, peace of mind, even if you don't mean it, you can't be wishing ill will. The smartest, the most genius people, you cannot think two things at the same time. I know it's impossible with our minds. You can't feel two different emotions at the same time. It's impossible. Anybody. It's absolutely impossible. But like last night or last week we talked about, not all resentments are bad. If some of these resentments, in the healthy way, if you will cause change for the good, help me to lose weight, help me improve my character, help me improve my financial standings, help me be a better father, help me be a better husband, help me be a better son, help me be a better citizen. Used rightly, some of these things can actually kick us upstairs, not downstairs. So they're not all bad. But most importantly, if you don't want to get rid of them, like I said, don't do this and don't pray. Continue these resentments to rationalize and justify, like I said, for your existence, for what you're doing, not doing, and the things that you should be doing. So we wrapped up in with this, and we will continue. And I ask after every section of the inventory, did we see anything to be afraid of? Absolutely not. Did we see anything so complicated we couldn't do? Absolutely not. So simple. Did we make a list of dirty, filthy, nasty items? Absolutely not. Did we get any positive results from this? You bet. We just heard about freedom. Starting to be free. Is there any reason why we shouldn't do this step? Absolutely not. So we don't need to procrastinate anymore. Procrastination is one of my biggest character defects when I get around to it. You like that? Okay, yeah. Now, this inventory process is 3 months and 3 hours to do. 3 months, you'll be walking around with this, but it only takes 3 hours to do. So, yeah, that's how it is. And by the way, the two biggest lies in AA is I'm working on my four-step, and I will respect you in the morning. So if you hear either of that, it's lies. So, yeah. So, anyhow, It's simple enough to get on with it. Get on the rest of the program. It takes a little bit of study, a little bit of help, a little bit of time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, indeed, you could have that done. Inventory number two, fear. And by the way, this is out of the 12 and 12. Okay? Fear is a stepping stone. The chief activator of our defects have been self-centered fear, primary that we lose something we already possess or would fail to get something we demand. Uh-oh. It's the old self thing. Remember, you can't go on without that. Okay? Living on a basis of unsatisfied demands, we're in a state of continual disturbance and frustration. Therefore, no peace was to be had unless we could find means of reducing these demands, these social security and sex instincts. For all its usual destructiveness, we found that fear can be the starting point for better things. Fear can be the stepping stone to prudence, to a deeper respect for others. It can point to justice as well as to hate. Uh-oh, you don't like that? Okay. And the more we have the respect and justice, the more we shall begin to find the love which can suffer much and yet be freely given. So fear need not always be destructive because the lessons of its consequences can lead us to positive values. So fear, like the resentments, not always a bad thing used in the way it should be. So when we do these fears, and by the way, as we did this, as we open up our textbook to that part of the inventory process, obviously we find out with these fears when we go to this column process on page 65, fear was bracketed on the right side 6 times. Uh-oh. Now, if you think these resentments look stupid when you get them on paper, they look good in your head. Wait till you put your fears on the paper. Hey, you're going to get a good laugh. At least I did. And what we're talking about, they look good, but as you go through this process, which, by the way, is on number two, and turn the page, okay, and we change this, I'm resentful at, I'm afraid of, or I'm afraid of. That's the only thing that you change, column number, or page number two on that. Who or what do I fear? I'm afraid. We're just going to leave it at that. As you can see, column number two, the cause affects my what did I do, where I've been. Well, it stays the same. Uh-oh. Guess what? That means my fears, like my resentments, they ain't real. And guess who started them or keeps them going? I hate when that happens, okay? So, anyhow, with this, much to my surprise, many of the things on my fear list were on my resentment list. That's why I left these up here. Was I afraid of her? You better believe it. Why was I afraid of her? If she found out all I was doing, dude, it would have been over. So, the reason I was afraid of her, if she knew, I'm just going to go ahead and put that, if she knew, okay. In fact, I might still be a little afraid about that all these years later, if she knew all of it. Now, what do you think about this fear? What do you think it did to the great I am? Do you think that wiped out my social instinct?
Absolutely.
All of it. Do you think it worked out or wiped out my security instinct? All of it. Yes, and the sex instinct. So you can see that this fear of my wife catching me and all this stuff wiped out all of this. What did I do? Oh, it's the same damn thing. I did everything but cheat on her and physically abuse her. Why? Because I'm selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate. Because of that, column number five, the exact nature of my wrong, I did this, so I was afraid of her. If she knew that, it wiped all that out. I'll be damned if my fears, either I started them or I kept them going. We're talking about fears of life. Fear of success, fear of failure, fear of being alone, fear of being married. We're talking about that kind. Now, we're not talking about the big, bad, rough, tough biker kind of guy. And by the way, the bigger and the tougher and the rougher they act, the more afraid they are. Just like a dog. I had a hell of a dog. Champ was his name. And he had two emotions. And one of them was fear. And when he was afraid, I tell you what, he attacked and he would have died doing that. We are no different. The point I'm trying to make is all of my fears, we find out, obviously, that I did that. Now, they look dumb on paper. And like I said, we're going to go ahead and use another example too. The IRS. Was I afraid of them? Oh, hell yes. The cause? Jail, institutions, fine, yada, yada. Affect mine? Like I said, I was going to be on somebody's hidden if I went. But what did I do? Cheated in taxes. Because I'm selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, inconsiderate. I was writing codependents that weren't on my tax forms. I was claiming deductions that I didn't. It was inflating and doing all that stuff. Okay. Because I did that, I was afraid of them because they were going to do this and wipe me out. I'll be damned. I never knew that my fears, I created them and or kept them going. And wait till you see this process in the book. It's absolutely fascinating. So we are here not to psychoanalyze ourselves. I'm not saying I'm afraid of the dark because mommy put me on the potty backwards. Go see your psychiatrist for that. That's not what we're here for. Go see your therapist. We're not going to get here to psychoanalyze ourselves. Here's what it says. Okay. Page 68. No, I'm sorry. Page 67 at the bottom. My bad. It says, notice the word fear is bracketed along the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, the employer, and the wife. That's the example before. This short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. Listen to how he describes that, and this is how crucial it is. This is what fear is. It's an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. Evil, corroding. That's like Darth Vader, y'all. Come on, the dark side, okay? And it says, it set in motions, trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune. Yeah, don't you look at my life. Look how bad it is. You don't understand. But listen what he says. Brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. But did we not ourselves set the ball rolling? We just got done showing you the example. Sometimes we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. I'm going to go ahead and wind the clock back. Don't forget when this came to print, April 10th, 1939. People couldn't eat. People weren't working. People were living hand to mouth. And you didn't steal from each other back then, most of it. There was a different code, a different ethic. So when Bill was using classified with stealing, as down and out, low and nasty and whatever, I hate to say it, in the year 2017, we've become jaded about stealing and theft. You read the paper and you just turn the page and say, oh, so what? And there's a lot of different things. But when this was written, that was a sin with a capital S on it. So it goes on to say, it seems to cause more trouble. Okay. Now, it goes on to say, we reviewed our fears thoroughly. Period. We put them on paper, which we just did here, okay, even though we had no resentment with them. We asked ourselves why we had them. Column number two. Here's what we find. Wasn't it because self, that's why you got to have this, self-reliance had failed us? Self-reliance was as good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us had once great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse. Once again, We're not here to psychoanalyze ourselves. We're to face and be rid of and find the facts as they really are. Self-reliance has failed us. Not possibly, it has failed us. Okay? Where's the fears that we're talking about? The fears that are in our minds, our jobs, our marriages, our children, the money, all areas of life. Not so much the physical fears, but the mental fears that are connected with life. We put the fears from our head to our paper. My experience, I'll speak for myself. My biggest fears, they don't even exist. The big bad boogeyman, huh? The worst thing I've ever lived through is never going to happen to me. In the fear, we're never prepared for what we expect. That turns into fear. And there was a great American that said this, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And it's so true. Once again, like I said, you can have the people from your resentment list on your fear list. And we had the wife, my boss when he fired me. I'm going to take these parents off of here. But you could put the police on there. The police, yeah. Did I tell you about that? God's infinite sense of humor. Hated the police. In fact, I still foam a little bit at the mouth when I see Ohio State Highway Patrol, but we're going to go ahead and put them down there. Do you know what God did to me? He turned our oldest son into a cop. What the hell is that? I'm getting him DNA tested. I'm saving my money. No kid of mine's going to have a gun to enforce the law. We broke the law. But anyhow, here's the fear of the police. We already went through the fear of the wife, and remember I resented him? The cause? Well, you know what it was. It was trouble when I dealt with them. It was never to go to the policeman's ball and have a good night. Okay? And the reason that I was always afraid of them, obviously, when I got involved with them, it wiped almost all of me out. What did I do? That nothing turns to everything, okay? Broke the law. Let's get down to this fear. I was always afraid of the police. Because I was selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, inconsiderate, I did this that always made me afraid of them because they were going to do this that was going to wipe me out. And you know what? Since I'm not this anymore, doing that, have at it, man. In fact, you know what? I love cops today. I do. They got the toughest, one of the toughest jobs in the world, I'm here to tell you. Went for a ride along with my son. Different story for a different day. I tell you what, it was one of the greatest experiences in the world for me. And here's how it was. Substation like a TV show. We were talking about this the other night. The shift coming in, they get their shotguns, they pump them, they get the bullets out of the shotguns, so they got to do it. The incoming guys put the bullets in, pump them up. Same thing with the tasers, take them off, put them on. There were 18 cops in the substation and me. I was sitting at the table, and I wasn't handcuffed to that table, by the way. I wasn't getting interrogated. I wasn't being questioned. I was a law-abiding citizen that day. And the greatest thing in that whole day, one of the greatest things was, I got to ride in the front seat of a cop car, not in the back. Come on, y'all. So the point I'm trying to make is I'm no longer afraid of the man. Because guess what? I don't keep that fear going because I ain't doing that anymore. Absolutely, positively amazing. If column 5 stays the same, and I am selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, inconsiderate, guess what? I won't be breaking the law, and I'm still going to be afraid of the man. And when the man gets me, it's because I've done something wrong. He's going to do this here, and it wipes me out again, just like resentment. Absolutely fascinating. I could put my boss, I could put anything, God, whatever your fears are, all of them, put them all up there. God, death, life, whatever the thing is, it's absolutely amazing. You will find column number 5, either created it and or it's keeping it going. So, like I said, this, some fears are good. It keeps us from being hurt. I'll give you a fear. I don't have wings. So when I am on the third level of the house cleaning the gutters, I don't hang too far over because if I do, it's going to be over. That's a healthy fear. And if I don't know if you've ever been where it's completely pitch black, I mean, where you can't see nothing, that's a little freaky. And the reason I'm a little fearful of that is I don't have headlights, and I guarantee you something's going to happen if I don't see where I'm going or how I'm going. Those are healthy fears in the respect that God's given us. If I have fears of heights and or dark that keeps me in at night or keeps me from walking up the stairs, going in an elevator, doing something like that, I need to take a look at it because they aren't true. Okay, so, like the resentments, guess what? They are centered around three things. They're centered around the basic instincts of life. So here's why I have all of these fears. I am scared I'm going to lose something I've already got. I'm going to lose something in the social or the security instinct. I can't be afraid of something unless it's in this space. No reason to be afraid, right? Okay, if it's not in the hula hoop, in mine, I ain't going to be afraid of it. Or I'm scared that I won't get it if I don't have it. Or I'm scared that I've created a problem for wife, IRS, police, boss, neighbor, whatever. Guess what? I'm afraid of that. I've created a problem for another human being. I'm afraid what's going to happen when they find out what I did. Like all resentments, all fears go back to these instincts of life. Inventory is done. The fear inventory the same way. So he goes on to say, okay, it's absolutely fascinating we've done this. The wrong is the fear, just like the wrong is the resentment. The exact nature, remember, selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightening, inconsiderate. If I become less of that, I won't have to do that, and I won't be getting the same results. However, if I stay the same over here, I'll always do what I did, and I'll always get what I got, and I'll be a scared, broken little boy. Once again, to my amazement, when I am done with the fear inventory, yes, number four will be complete. Yes, five, admitted to God, myself, and another human being, the exact nature of my wrong. Six, I will be entirely ready to have God remove these. Step seven, humbly on my knees, I will ask him, remove these, holding nothing back. And yes, on 8 and 9, the things that I was afraid of, my wife, the IRS, the boss, the police, God, whatever it was, guess what? Need to make amends to them too. Ever see anything so simple but so life-changing in that? And once again, until I do this with the fears, I can't continue in 10 to inventory my fears if I haven't done it in 4. And guess what? When we get there, stick with me, please. Step 11 is improving on 10. So I cannot go on with the program until I go through this inventory process. And like I said, most of these fears are caused by me doing something based on, self, which put me in a position to be hurt. Step 3. Remember what he said. It's plain to see any life run on self could hardly be a success because I'm always in collision with somebody or something else. It's amazing to see what you see about yourself when you do this inventory. Like I said, the resentments look good until you got them on paper. The fears look good until you put them on paper. Most of these fears will disappear from this course of action. We're going to go ahead and finish that. Please keep this in mind on this short narrative of the fears. The first paragraph if fear states the problem. The second paragraph states the solution. The third paragraph states the plan of action or the application to this. It's so simple that I can blow right through it. Remember, every step, not some, not most, not a lot, not quite a few, recognizes self can overcome self. We have to go to God for help. And the sphere inventory is no different. So, we'll go back to this. And like I said, on page 68. Now he's going to tell us. Perhaps there's a better way. We think so, for we are on a different basis. Oh, I get it. We're off of self and on to God. Different basis. The basis of trusting and relying upon God. Two totally different things. Trusting and relying. Because guess what? If you're relying on something, you may not be getting your way, and it may be pretty damn painful. In fact, it's going to be, and it is, okay? This is what it says. We trust infinite God rather than our finite self. I hate that word, don't you? Okay. We are in the world to play the role. Uh-oh, that's what we were just talking about. Remember I read that tonight? That's why I read it. Your part. The part that God assigns. He assigns, not we. Okay. Just to the extent that we do, not think, not talk, not philosophize, not read, do as we think he would have us, and humbly, we're not just relying, humbly rely on him, does he enable us to match calamity with serenity? That's one of the 152 promises in the book. I'm going to play a devil's advocate this year. Some of you people say, there ain't nothing new. I got something new for you. These promises that I keep talking about, we're going to start using those as checklists. Has that happened? If that doesn't happen in my life, then guess what? I haven't done this inventory, or I'm missing something, or it ain't right. So from now on, when I say these promises, we are going to use it as a checklist. And if it hasn't happened or isn't happening in my life, I better stop and redo something or take a look at it, because guess what? Something's missing. What it says to do here, what's missing is this. The E word, the experience. And by the way, recovery is, there's conditions on it. It's conditional. A two-letter word. The word if. If we do this, we'll get it. If we don't, we won't. So it is conditional. Your recovery is conditional. So he goes on to say, we never apologize to anyone for depending. I'm really starting to get it. Trust, rely, depend, give up on self. That's why I have all these fears. Okay? For depending on our Creator, capital C. That's why a lot of times people say your own conception of God as you understand him, it's a light bulb. Well, I'm glad my daddy ain't a light bulb. I don't know why, because I wouldn't be too bright if it was, so I can just say that for myself, okay? And it says, we laugh at those who think spirituality is a way of weakness. Paradoxically, it's a way of strength. Do you know the more I'm dependent on God, the more independent I am? And the more I follow his rules, regulations, bylaws, the more freedom I got. It's backwards of what you think. Okay, now it goes on to say, we laugh at those who think spirituality is a way of weaknesses. Paradoxically, it's a way of strength. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All, not some, not most, not a lot, not quite a few, men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let him demonstrate through us. So anything you got going, I got news for you. It ain't yours. Him demonstrate through us. Give the credit where the credit's due. Look for the Creator, not the creation. Look for the giver, not the gifts. Look for the blesser and not the blessings. That's where the power is. It goes on to say this, okay? It says, demonstrate to us what he can do. Not what we can do, what he can do. Okay. Instead, we let him demonstrate to us what he can do. Remember I said self can't overcome self, had to have God. Four-step prayer, fear prayer. It says, we ask God, that means prayer, ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. Not do, be. Two totally different words. And I guarantee you, you say those prayers and you mean it, pray a prayer from the heart, not say it from your head. It works. It really does. May be hard for some of you to believe, But I had one of the biggest fears of my life was to talk in front of people. That's insulting. Yes, that's all, yeah, it's true. When I came in, could not even look somebody in the eye, could not talk to them. I'm here to tell you, that's changed. Okay, so it goes on to say, this is what he says, y'all. Checklist. One of the biggest promises. At once we commence to outgrow fear. Wow. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year. At once we commence to outgrow fear. That's a powerful promise, especially if you were like me, scared to death of everybody and everything. So now, he tells us to get the solution, obviously, like resentments. Remember, when those were gone, we can't have a vacuum. Remember this? Take water out, something's got to replace it, it's air.